Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, surveys have been conducted in Australia to determine church attendance. These show that only about 15% of Australians attend church on any regular basis. Not all of those attend church every week. This means that by far the majority of Australians do not attend church, and many of them do not seem at all interested in doing so. If you ask them about this, they will tell you the church is irrelevant, it is out of date, it is behind the times, or they will tell you that the church is full of hypocrites, or that they are only after your money. And they may well point out all the divisions and disagreements between Christians and denominations. It is true that the Church Universal is very divided. There are a great variety of churches, from those that are rigid and fundamental to those that are wildly Pentecostal, from those that sing psalms only to those that have a band playing hard rock, from those that only read the King James Version to those that put up the latest version of the Bible on a data projector screen. With the negative view that many have of the church, and with all this diversity, we need to ask, what is the church? What are key characteristics that define what a church is, or at least what it should be? Today, we want to define the church by looking at the definition that's provided in the Heidelberg Catechism, and by going through the words and phrases of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. So that brings us to our first point. We are the Church of God. Now, Paul was an apostle of Christ Jesus. This means he was a leader of the early church, chosen by Jesus Christ himself, and sent out to tell others the good news about Christ. He wrote this letter in 55 AD to the church in Corinth while he was staying in Ephesus. He wrote it to the Church of God in Corinth. The word church translates the Greek word ecclesia. That word is made up of two Greek words, ek, meaning out of, and kaleo, meaning to call. In Greek cities, the ecclesia was a gathering of the citizens of the city to discuss and decide on matters of public interest. Early Christians borrowed this word to describe the church as the people who were called by God out of the world to assemble together. So, the church is not this building. We meet here in this building, but we could meet in the town hall or a gymnasium or a classroom in a school. The church is the people of God who assemble together. That's the church. As a visible church, we have an organisation. We have a formal structure with men who are elders and deacons. We have worship services, Bible studies, catechism classes, and prayer meetings. The church is organised. But our church is also an organism. That is, it's a living community of people. It is a body of people who meet together regularly to worship, to encourage one another, to fellowship and to grow in their faith. We are the church, a community, this is quoting from the Heidelberg, a community chosen for eternal life. We are the church of God. The church in Corinth had lost sight of this. Some thought they were the church of Paul, others the church of Apollos, others the church of Cephas, and the real holy ones thought they were the church of Christ. They were quarrelling among themselves and dividing the church of the Lord Jesus. They were following mere men rather than Jesus himself. They were focusing on human personalities rather than God. Paul reminded them that they were the church of God. God the Father had chosen them in Christ even before the creation of the world. We get that from Ephesians 1. God had called them to himself through his Spirit and Word, as the Heidelberg Catechism points out. The Holy Spirit had given them a new heart. They had been converted through repentance and faith. That is true of most of us here today. This has happened to so many of you. That is why we are addressed collectively as brothers and sisters in Christ. As a result of all this, we are, and this is quoting from 1 Peter 2, a people belonging to God. We believe in God and in his Son, Jesus Christ. We are united in true faith. That is, a faith in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, and in the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul wrote this letter to the church of God in Corinth. There was just the one church in Corinth. There were other churches in other cities in Greece and churches in many other places in the Roman Empire at this time. The word church or ecclesia is used 115 times in the New Testament. Over 100 of those are references to local churches. Paul did not write this letter to the church universal, but to the church in a very specific place in Corinth, to that particular local congregation as they existed in 55 AD. Now this highlights the vital importance of the local church. In the 2021 Australian census, about 44% of the population claimed to be Christian. Yet only 15% of the population attends church on any regular basis. Now this means about 30% of Australians identify themselves as Christian, but never go to church. The Bible does not allow for this possibility. The scriptures always picture the Christian as belonging to a visible, local body of believers. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth, assuming that all the Christians in the city belonged to that congregation. There may be some individuals who cannot attend church because of age or sickness or distance, but they are exceptions to the rule. Even in countries where Christians are persecuted and are not allowed to assemble together, they will still make every effort to do so. They will meet secretly in their homes or in the forest or in a basement. They want to meet together because true believers are drawn to each other by their common faith in God. If you are a Christian, you must seek to belong to a visible body of believers who make up a church. Now that brings us to our second point. Christians are called saints. Paul wrote, and I'm reading from verse 2 again, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy. The word sanctified means to be made holy, and the word holy means to be set apart and to be made pure. God has purified his people from their sin. He has forgiven us. He has washed us and cleansed us from all impurity. He did not do that because we deserved to be made holy, but because he chose us in Christ to be a holy people, and we find that in 1 Peter 2. He did not make us holy because we were so good. He made us holy because of the perfect work of Jesus Christ on the cross, because Jesus died for the sin of all of his people. We also need to know a little Greek grammar to understand this word. Sanctified is a perfect passive verb. The perfect tense means that this happened in the past, but it has an ongoing effect in our lives. The passive means that we did not do this to ourselves, but God did this to us. In theology, it is called positional sanctification, because it describes our position in Christ, who we are in Him. We are sanctified in Christ Jesus. This is why Paul goes on to say in the second part of verse 2 that we are called to be holy. Literally, the Greek reads, called holy or called saints. The Greek word for holy or saints is the same root word as for sanctified. Now, the Roman Catholic Church has named some of her members as saints. St. Andrew, St. Peter, St. John, St. Teresa, St. Paul. In more recent times, they named an Australian woman as a saint, St. Mary MacKillop. For them, the saints are people who have been especially holy and done a lot of good work for God and others. For the Apostle Paul, every Christian is a saint. Every believer is a holy one. Every one of us who believes in God through the Lord Jesus has been washed of our sin and has been made holy. Every one of us is a saint. But sadly, we do not always live up to who we are. That was true in this church in Corinth. This city was one of the greatest in the Roman Empire at the time. It was a centre of intellectual thought and philosophy. The Corinthians also had the reputation for speaking very good Greek, as The Hague is for fine Dutch and the BBC for well-spoken English. But underneath this cultural veneer, the city of Corinth was full of paganism, immorality, and corruption. It was a city full of sin. The Christians in Corinth had allowed this sin to come into their own lives and into their church. Later on in his letter, Paul urged them to put out of their fellowship a man who was living an immoral lifestyle. That's in chapter 5. They were a holy people, and they had to maintain that as a church. Now, we can illustrate the same point from the Roman Catholic Church in the later Middle Ages. That church was not holy. It was corrupt. Many of the monks, nuns, and priests were just as bad as, if not worse than, the people of the world. They were greedy and immoral. They knew little or nothing of the Bible and were incapable of teaching the people. This was one of the reasons for the Reformation. The Roman Catholic Church needed to be reformed in its doctrine and life. And what about us today? We are part of the Church of God. We have been sanctified in Christ Jesus. We are called saints. Are we fulfilling our calling? Are we all being what we are? Are you, personally, living a holy life? Is it clear that you are different from other people at school or at work or at university? Are you living good lives among the pagans so that they see your good works and glorify God on the day He visits us? That brings us to our third point. Christians are united in true faith. Now, having addressed the church in Corinth, Paul then broadens out his perspective on the church by writing in our text, I'm just reading from it again, together with all those everywhere who call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. The church in Corinth was one church among many in the ancient world. Our church is one among thousands of churches in Australia and one among hundreds of thousands in the world. This is what we confess in the Apostles' Creed when we declare that we believe in the Holy Catholic Church. We are not saying that we are part of the Roman Catholic Church, which is the church that looks to the Pope in Rome as its head. Rather, we are part of the Holy Catholic Church. The word Catholic means universal or worldwide in geographical spread and in time as well in history. This is the church that Jesus is gathering through his Spirit and Word out of the entire human race from the beginning of the world to its end. We find that in the Heidelberg. This is the church spread through the whole world in China, India, Uganda, Tonga, and Brazil, and it has been in existence in the Old Testament and in the first century AD and during the Middle Ages and in the Reformation and up to the present day. Actually, it began with two members, Adam and Eve. All over the world, on this Lord's Day, believers will gather together to call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. They, like us, will call on the Lord in faith, in prayer, in worship. The church is made up of people who are united in a true faith in Jesus, who believe in him and are committed to following him. This same church is spread throughout the whole world. Now this is very encouraging. The Church of Jesus Christ is so much bigger than our congregation. It is historical, universal, worldwide, Catholic. Now we experience that when we travel within Australia or overseas. We visit another Reformed church and we can worship with like-minded believers. Some of you have lived overseas for a time and have found a spiritual home in a faithful Bible-believing church where you have been built up in your faith. When you do this, you experience the Catholicity of the church. As we examine our own lives and our own church, we can see many flaws and failings. When we examine the wider church, we can see hypocrisy, division, disagreement, and doctrinal error. To quote from one of the hymns, by schisms rent asunder, by heresies distressed. That, sadly, has been so throughout time. Christ's church is only perfected in glory. But behind and beyond all this, we believe that each faithful, true, local congregation is the church of God, sanctified in Christ Jesus and called saints. Every church, including ours, is part of the Holy Catholic Church. We are together with all those everywhere who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. And one day we will all meet together in heaven with all the people of God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And together we will sing to him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb be praise and honour and glory and power for ever and ever. Amen. That's from Revelation 5. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for continuing to call people out of the world into your church. We thank you for this congregation, and may we continue to strive to be united in a true faith, to live pure and holy lives as befits what we are called, saints. Help us to live godly lives that our neighbours may glorify God on the day of visitation. And please grant then that there will always be a faithful, true church meeting here in this place, and that you would draw many to join us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.